June 12th. Jesus says, "Many, if many were to read what I dictate to you, they would find that some expressions are a little drastic, almost impossible in their human sight. Father McLaurini will be less amazed, for as my servant he knows that nothing is impossible for God, including certain forms of conduct toward souls that would not be attended to by men who measure things and apply them according to a standard and a model created by them that is always imperfect. When I say I have loved you so much that I have even satisfied your whims, I use a phrase that would open wide the eyes of many and cause disrespectful criticisms to be leveled at me and not very pleasant judgments at you. And yet it is so, and this occurred because of a very proper vision on my part. When I wanted you for myself, Maria, poor Maria, you were so human, and the humanity which had surrounded you was even more human than you yourself, and it had increasingly dulled you, so that you were really a little savage. If I had then asked you for what I requested later and, especially what I want from you hour by hour now, you would have fled in terror. But Jesus never causes fear. Jesus, with his dear children, is a father marked by perfect loving kindness, by a divine loving kindness, for if Jesus was a man, and knew man's sentiments, he has always been and is God, and thus reaches the perfection of God in sentiments. To draw you near, and so that you would approach without fear, and with ever increasing love, I then followed the rule in use among men to dominate peevish children. I offered and gave to you everything you desired. They were sometimes trifles, on other occasions, important things. Well then, your Jesus gave them to you. You sometimes dreamed with your eyes open, and regarded the dream as certain. A man would have belied you, passing you off as mad and untruthful. I, God, turned your dreams into certainties so as not to humiliate you in the eyes of the world. In that way I succeeded, in making you fond of me to such a point, that you have arrived at what you now are. Someone lost in me, inseparable from me. You, a finite, imperfect being, no longer exist with your human limitations and imperfections, because you are absorbed, and by yourself you have brought yourself to be absorbed, by me. You see me in everything pleasant, unpleasant, joyful, sad which happens to you. You act while looking at my face. You are fascinated by my face. I could guide you with my gaze. With even less, the beating of my heart, of my love, guides you. You live by my love. You live in my love. You live for my love. When you experience a joy, you run out to meet me, laughing, to thank me. When you experience a need, you reach out, asking for it. When you experience a pain, you come upon my heart to cry. You are so convinced that I am your all that you make decisions and take liberties which to human short-sightedness might seem acts of imprudence and madness. But you know that I am your all, a God all, and that I can do everything, and you trust. It is precisely this absolute confidence that spurs me to work continual little miracles for you, for it is the confidence of whoever loves me that opens my heart as God, to make torrents of graces descend from it. You are mine, because I have been able to take you, because I have been able to make your poor humiliated humanity a masterpiece of mercy. You are mine, my little one. You pertained to so many things. You lived for human concerns. You were suffering and dying in the flesh, because you are a soul that the world does not satiate, and were unable to find the way. Now you are mine, mine alone. And even on the cross you are happy, because you have someone who loves you as you want. You have me, your God and your spouse, your Jesus. When a soul comes to be mine to such a degree, love takes the place of the law and the commandments. The former and the latter are divine, but they still make their presence felt. They are the harnesses placed upon your animality, so it will not rear up and come to ruin. But love is weightless. It is not a bridle applying coercion. It is a force which leads you by freeing you even from your humanity. When a soul really loves, love occupies the place of everything. It is like a little child in the arms of his mother, who feeds him, dresses him, puts him to sleep, washes him, takes him out for a stroll, or places him in the cradle for his good. Love is the mystical wet nurse that rears the souls destined for heaven. If by a special miracle, 3/4 desired by your will, for without your will, certain miracles cannot, must not occur, and 1/4 by my benignity, all souls came to be alive by the Spirit alone, that is, all of them worthy of heaven, I would say the word end, for the earth, in order to carry you all to heaven before a new ferment of humanity again corrupted one of the weakest among you. But, unfortunately, this will never happen. Indeed, spirituality and love are increasingly dying on the earth. That is why the souls able to live in spirituality and love must touch the summits of the spirit, of charity, and sacrifice, for sacrifice is never lacking in this trinity of things necessary to be my true disciples, and make reparation for the others who have rendered spirit and love barren in their hearts. To make reparation, console, suffer. It will be the victims that save the world.